Thank you so much. Praise God. So, I've been talking on the subject previously, ourselves, on how we can put ourselves in a place where, you know, God can use us, looking at our identity. And it's so important for us to understand who we are in Christ, because the world's identity doesn't help. It gets us depressed, it gets us down. But when we put ourselves in God's hands and we see things from God's perspective, we see something different, because He sees us in a totally different way. How many of you know that? God sees us in a totally different way. So one of the things that really blessed me from the series of studies that we have done from the book of Philippians, listening to Pastor Peter and Mark Collard, Pastor Mark Collard from Equippers in Surrey, because they do a video talk on the book of Philippians. So if you want to get a hold of that, if you speak to Bob, he will send you the link so that you can have a listen to that teaching on the book of Philippians. It's so inspiring and so good. And he comes out of a great man of God with almost 40 years of experience of leading churches. And so I would really encourage you, if you haven't been on a Wednesday, and I don't want you to miss it, we can always send it to you. You can listen to it. And I tell you, it'll bless you. It blessed me so much. And so I'm going to talk about one of those aspects that from that which I learned from the teaching from the book of Philippians. And this is the scripture that came to me that really, although I'd read it before, when I heard it being explained, something really jumped in my spirit. So I know it's a quickened word. And the title of this message is this: God will complete what He has started. God will complete what He has started. God never works by half measures. God always completes what He started. And sometimes in our lives, because of human nature and because of disappointments and because of letdowns, we get accustomed to thinking that God has let us down, or God will let us down, or God has not been for us. And so we have to change our mindset and know that when God starts something, He always completes it. Look at the way God created the heavens and the earth, the creation. He created everything. And what did He say? It is good. God has created you and me. And He looks at us and He says, you are good. You are amazing. Because God does not make a mistake. One of the steps, or one of the virtues of faith, or steps of faith, is to believe that God, who started a good work in you, will complete it. That takes a step of faith. Why do I say that? Because society and human nature will always say otherwise. But we got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit by faith and declare, God, you started a good work in me, and I know you will complete it. Now, that completion can come soon. It can come later on in life. But we know that somehow God will bring to pass what He has started. And that's something we have to believe and accept in our lives. We need to have that kind of faith to believe that God will complete what He started. We need to have that in our spirit. When I heard this, I was saying, God, I know that you will complete that which you have started in me. It's not going to be in half measures. It's going to be complete and fully complete in me. God has got us. He's got our back. He will hold us. He will keep us till it's complete, till we have completed the task that God's given us. Our assignment on earth that God has already prepared for us has been given by Him, because He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. Psalm 139 and 13 tells us that God knew us even before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And before a day was lived by us, God already had written out His plan. That's how confident I know that God will complete If he has already written out your plan, isn't he capable of completing it at the right time? He is able. When I look at my own life and I see from the time, you know, that I came to know Jesus, which was about, I was probably age 14, you know, to where I am now, and I see how God has progressively taken me through different avenues, different experiences, some good, some not so good, but challenges that have shaped me and formed me to who I am today. And I know that God started something, and I'm still in that process of coming to completion at the right time, in his plan, in his purpose. But he has never left me. He has never forsaken me. There are times when I've felt like that, but that's because my mind tells me otherwise. But God has never left my side. Neither has he gone away from me, nor taken away his Holy Spirit from me. That's what David prayed in the prayer. Do you remember that prayer that he prayed? God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but renew in me your right spirit. Renew in me that spirit that comes from the Spirit of God, that cries out to God, that cries out to you as Abba, Father, my loving Father. I will call out to you. I will cling to you no matter what. And that comes from the spirit man. It cannot come from the flesh. It cannot come from our mind. It has got to jump out of our spirit man unto the Father. Philippians 1 and verse 6 is our key scripture for this morning. Philippians 1 and verse 6. So I'm reading from the Living Bible. And it says this, "And I'm sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns." Can you see how that scripture? I'm sure Paul here is very sure. He's absolutely sure of one thing, that God would complete the task given to him on the day Christ returns. God will complete. I like this version because it says here, God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task, not your task, until his task within you is finally complete. It's his task in you. It's God's task in me. And I'm fully assured that because it's God's task, he is able to finish what he started. Amen? Paul was sure of it. So the onus was on Paul to keep holding on to his faith in Jesus until every plan and purpose in God was fulfilled. That was Paul's onus. That's what he had to do. He had to hold on to God. He had to hold on to Jesus. Bear in mind, Paul was persecuting the church. I mean, he was Saul before he changed his name to Paul. He was persecuting the church. He was putting Christians in prison. But God met with him and transformed his life. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, gives us this assurance that God will complete whatever he started in you. You can take that assurance today into your own lives and say, "God, I know I've gone on a journey. Sometimes our journey has been rough. Our journey has felt that it's incomplete. Our journey has felt, we felt disappointments on our journey." We all do from time to time. But you can say this morning in your heart, you can say, "God, your word says that you will complete what you have started. God, I'm expecting you to complete what you have started." That's why Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. We have to fight to keep our faith. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Some of the older translations will say that. We have to fight to keep our faith. Try as hard as you can to win that fight. Because it takes a fight to win that fight that we are fighting every day. Take hold of eternal life. It is the life you were chosen to have when you confessed your faith in Jesus. That wonderful truth that you spoke so openly and that so many people heard. We have to fight to keep our faith. Try as hard as we can to win in that fight. It's a fight worth fighting for. It's a win worth winning. And so in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 to 13, Paul again writes, he says, "My Christian friends, you have obeyed me when I was with you. You have obeyed even more when I have been away. You must keep on working to show you have been saved from the punishment of sin." What does he say? You must keep on working. It's another translation, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I like this version. You must keep on working to show you have been saved from the punishment of sin. Be afraid that you may not please God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be afraid that you may not please God. Verse 13, He is working in you. God is helping you. Who is helping you? God. Tell your neighbor, God is helping you. To do what? Obey Him. God is helping you obey Him. God is doing what He wants done in you. What an amazing scripture. God is helping you obey Him. How many know you need the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's commands? Because human nature always goes against what is right. Most often, human nature always goes against that. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to obey God's word. I'll come to that a little later. What Paul is saying here is that if we say that we are saved from sin, if we say that we are saved from the power of sin and death, then that salvation must express itself in progressive Christian living and in our character that is upright. Not only individually, which we are to take on board, but it also is important through the church, through participation in God's call through the church. Corporate call through the church. If we say we are saved, then we have to see the manifestation of that salvation. That's what Paul is saying. And not only for us individually, but that manifestation of salvation through Jesus Christ must be seen in the corporate body when we come together as a church and when we get involved in the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. That is what Paul is saying. Our salvation must show in the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. How many know where the scripture for the fruit of the Spirit is? It's Galatians 5 and verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance. Anything else? Self-control. Hallelujah. You can read it for yourself, Galatians 5, 21 and 22. I didn't give you that scripture, but that's okay. That is a fruit of the Spirit. That's what this Holy Spirit breathes in us and brings to life in us. God, what the Spirit of God is saying, that our lives should declare the things of the Spirit. If it is not declaring the things of the Spirit, then I would question our salvation. Because salvation through Christ must bring a change. How many of you know that when you had an encounter with Jesus, you don't remain the same? Your life changes. Everything that was old is gone. Sometimes your friends have to go as well. The wrong kind of friends, the wrong cliques, the wrong groups, the wrong clubs. The lifestyle that you led before has to go when you encounter Jesus. Why? Because there's a renewing of your mind, a renewing of your spirit, and the Spirit of God now lives where? on the inside of you. Amen? And therefore, because he lives on the inside of you, Paul here is saying that God is helping you, the Spirit of God is helping you obey the voice of God. He is helping you obey the voice of God. Now, you can be disobedient to that voice. You can say no to that voice, but that voice of God is always speaking. And sometimes it's hard to take when God speaks, because God will always speak righteousness, truth, justice, always. It's never contrary to his word. That's what the Spirit of God will speak into our lives. Have you found that in today's society, confessing your faith in Jesus and living out your faith has become a fight? Have you noticed? I hope no one has been sleeping through the changes that have come very cunningly and craftily. You'll notice today, 10 years ago, even going back 10 years ago, you didn't have the pressure that you have today. To be a witness for Jesus is being questioned. To stand up for Jesus, to hold a Bible, to read the Bible is being questioned. People would rather read some other rubbish, horoscope, or some other fantasy stuff than read the Word of God. And we are in a fight. Against what? Not against people. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There are principalities in the heavenly places, over the principalities, over nations, over cities, over various jurisdictions, areas, principalities, powers, rulers in high places. That's who our fight is. And that is why Ephesians 6 and verse 10 tells us, put on the whole armor of, not half, but the whole armor of God. Why? Because we are in a battle. Because we are in warfare every day. Never for a moment think that you're off any battle. You're always in the battlefield because we have a common enemy, the devil. We have Satan, who is always buffeting us, who is always bringing things across our path, who is always trying to tempt us, always trying to test us, is always trying to drag us down. So we always are in a fight, and that is why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, stand firm. You know, if you've been to Buckingham Palace, you will see the Queen's guards. When they stand there in attention, they don't flinch, do they? They only move their eyes. But they don't move. You can go in front of them and do all funny things. I've seen people sort of do that. But they don't flinch. They stand firm. They've been trained to stand their ground. And sometimes as Christians, we got to learn to stand our ground. Even though people come and ha 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 in front of us. And try to do crazy things in front of us. Try to lure us down a road that seems nice, that seems easy. But the road is always narrow. Let's not forget that. There's never a broad road in Jesus Christ. It's always a narrow road. We always like the broad road. We like to vacillate from side to side. But Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Let's stand our ground, church. Don't vacillate. Think of that soldier guarding the Queen's palace. He doesn't flinch. He does not move. He stands his ground. Every time when the enemy tries to get you, tell yourself, I'm standing in my Jesus. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm not going to flinch. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay my ground. Because God has won the battle for me. And I'm fighting every day. But I'm winning because Jesus won it already. Amen? That's the amazing thing. God has won it for us. Many times we come against when people are coming against what we believe, they're coming against what the Bible teaches. People want a more secular, modern, kind of a carefree kind of life where everything is okay. Everything is okay. If you are happy, it's okay if you are happy. Whatever brings you happiness. It's the kind of life that people want without much accountability, without much responsibility. It's that kind of society we are in. That's why people say it's not fair. And somebody else is blessed people say, it's not fair. I should be blessed too. And so we're in that kind of culture. We are living in times where standing up for Jesus is being questioned. Preaching the gospel is being questioned. The scriptures, God's word, is being twisted. It's been modified. It's been turned around and interpreted for man's own selfish gain and pleasure. Just to justify a lifestyle that suits man. Scripture is being turned around, twisted. We got to be careful that we don't get caught up in teaching that is not from the Word of God. We got to stand by what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word, what He's spoken, will never pass away. We can rely on the Word of God. And that's why we have to stand our ground. Say, God, I'm believing. I like that song we sang at the end. I believe, God, you can move every mountain in my life. I believe it. And God will do it. We are living in times where people are unable to endure sound doctrine. People want to hear messages that tingle, you know, that sound sweet to their ears. They say, oh, Pastor, that is a beautiful word. Didn't challenge anybody. People want that kind of gospel. You won't get it here, though. You have to find another church. But here we preach the Word of God as it is, like it or not. Because that's what the Word of God says. We preach sound doctrine. They've turned their ears away from the truth. They've turned aside to fables. That's what the Word of God says. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, the time will come. The time will come when people will not listen to the truth. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he had got it then. We are seeing it now. He had got it then. He said, the time will come when people will not listen to the truth. They will look for teachers who will tell them only what they want to hear. That's why people go from church to church to church to church to church to find a church that they can fit in, that tells, that preaches and teaches what they want in their own lives and a lifestyle that they want to lead. And they go around looking for such a church. They will not listen to the truth. Instead, they will listen to stories made up by men. How true it is. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And he says this, listen to this. These are the days, the last days. Perilous times will come from verse 1. It says, but know this, for men will be lovers of themselves. That's the first thing. Do we see that happening today? Lovers of money. Do we see that? Yeah. For money, they will kill somebody. You've read in the papers, they attack elderly ladies, elderly people. For what? For money. Boasters. Proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Do we see that? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. Wow, look at that. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's what the scripture tells us. We have to be aware of that. Because these times are the times that we are living in. And we got to keep our testimony. We got to keep our character. We got to keep our standing in the Word of God, standing our ground, and fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Are you ready? Are you up for that? Fighting the good fight of faith. Now we'll look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Because of that, because of these things that are happening today, Paul writes to Timothy in the second book of Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. He tells us to preach the word of God. He says this, preach the word of God. Preach it when it is easy and people want to listen, and when it is hard and people do not want to listen. Preach it anyway. Because it falls, some seeds will fall on good soil. Some will fall on thorny ground. Some will fall on the wayside. But some seeds will fall on good ground. And so it says, preach the word. Use the word of God to show people they are wrong. Whoa. Use the word of God to show people they are wrong. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. There seems a way to be right to man, to a man, but the end thereof is the ways that lead to death. Use the word of God to help them do right. You must be willing to wait for people to understand what you teach as you teach them. I hope you're understanding what I'm teaching, because that's important. I hope you're understanding that. You must be willing to wait for people to understand what you teach as you teach them. So can you see how amazing the scripture is? It's already spoken for. It's already there in the word of God. And so when we know the word of God, we can say, okay, I know it's coming. It's come already. It's happening around me. I've got to stand my ground. I've got to fight the good fight of faith. I got to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. So the question is this. And you say, I'm glad you asked this question. So how can we hold on to our faith? How can we fight this good fight of faith till Jesus comes? How do we do it? And I believe that one of the first things that we need to understand and know is that we have got to abide in the Word of God. By faith, we have got to abide in the Word of God. Because everything else will fail around us, but God's Word will never fail us. One of the things that we find today's society is that we are so busy with everything else that we don't find time to look into the Word of God. And that's a cunning ploy of the enemy to keep us away from what's in the Word. And I want to encourage you this morning, none of us are perfect, not me either. Never condemn yourself for not reading the Word, but instead encourage yourself to say, I'm going to read the Word of God. You don't need to read chunks of it, or, you know, passages, you know, chapters, so many, etc., or books. Just have to read, you know, a scripture and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, help me. Let me learn something from your Word. It could be reading the book of Timothy. Amazing book. Want to know how to fight in God? Read the book of Timothy 1 and 2. That's an amazing book. Abiding in the Word by faith is absolutely important to fight this good fight of faith. Because we can only fight it with God's word. His word in our mouth is what? Like a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. His word in our mouth. If we don't have the word of God in our mouth, we'll be useless. We'll be ineffective. Regardless of how we feel or what we think, we understand. Jesus said this in John 8, 31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. There's an if. If you abide, there's a condition there. Choose to abide in Jesus, in the word of God. You choose. It's a choice. But the promise is, you are my disciples indeed, if you choose to abide in my word. The Bible tells us, not to be overcome or bowled over by evil, but to overcome or bowl over evil with good. Where do I find that? Romans 12 and 21. Don't be overcome or bowled over by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let the enemy take you out. How many of you watch some of the cricket going on? What's the thing that the batsman has to do? Make sure that ball doesn't get to the wicket. It doesn't want to get bowled out. We as well, we've got to put on our armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? We don't want to get bowled over and thrown out of the race. Romans 6 verses 11 to 12 tells us to be dead to sin. What is sin? Sin is the act or state of missing the mark of God's standard in our lives. God has a standard for us. God has His best for us. And sin is to miss that best standard that God has for us. It comes through disobedience. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Disobedience. They ate of the fruit of the tree that they should not have eaten. But it says, be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus. You got to be alive to God in Jesus. Be dead to sin, but alive to God. Ephesians 2:1 tells us this. In the past, you were spiritually dead. This is the past. Because of your sins and the things you did against God. Then in verse 12 of Ephesians 2, it says, that at that time you were without Christ, alienated and strangers, having no hope without God. Having no hope without God. Isn't the scripture clear? Amazing, isn't it? It's all there in the Word of God. So to fight the good fight of faith means that we have to stand firmly anchored in the Word. It's no use spouting the Word or in a parrot fashion, just repeating the Word like poetry. Everyone can do that. It makes a difference when you have to stand firm believing the Word of God. There are many who know the Word and you will rattle off scripture after scripture, but I always question, are you living it? Are you living what you're rattling off? It comes so easy, like a memory verse. And it's good to memorize the Bible. It's good to memorize, but it's also good to practice what we are declaring. That's important. Stand firmly anchored in the Word, in the power of the Spirit, reckoning ourselves dead to our feelings, our human reasoning, not letting sin rule in our mortal body by obeying its lusts. We have to do what Jesus says. Says anyone who wants to follow me must do what? Must put aside his own desires and conveniences. Wow. Ouch. Who said ouch? Must put away what? His own desires and conveniences. How many of us want conveniences? And carry his cross with him every day and keep close to him. Luke 9 and verse 23. Carry your cross, his cross rather, not your cross. Carry his cross with him every day and keep close. It doesn't mean physically carrying a cross and walking around. It means this. It means being willing to die in order to follow Jesus. Dying to what? To ourselves, our ambitions, selfish ambitions. Dying to the things that are not of the Spirit of God. Dying to the attitudes, some of the attitudes that we may have. Dying to ourselves. That's what it means when it said, when Jesus, take up your cross and follow me. What does a cross signify? Death, correct? That's what the cross does. It looks nice on like, as an ornament. People wear it. But what does it actually signify? The most profound act of God's love that happened 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary, where Jesus gave his life, died a criminal's death. We forget that. People wear the cross. They forget the significance of the cross. You and I who have been born again by the Spirit of God, we know that without the cross, there will be no salvation. You've got to come through the cross of Jesus. Amen? To receive salvation in Christ Jesus. Paul says the same thing in Romans 8:13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you put to death the deeds of the body, what does the Bible say? You will live. And so I was going to demonstrate something here this morning. I know I've gone a bit out of my time. But I just want to highlight something very key this morning. The difference between the Spirit, the soul, and the body. And we explain this when we do our marriage courses. Remember? The Spirit, soul, and body. So Richard is the Spirit man, okay? He's the Spirit. I need someone in the soulish realm here. You're the soul, okay? And you're the body, okay? So in God's order, this is how it operates. The Holy Spirit, when we give prominence to the Holy Spirit, when we put Christ first, when we put the Spirit of God first, as we read in the scripture there, when we die to self and we live for the Spirit of God then unites with the soulish realm. What's the soul? The mind, the emotions, and your will. That's the soulish realm. Your mind, what you think, your emotions, what you feel, and your will, what you want to do, your behavior. Those are the three things that operate in the soulish realm. The soul then controls the body, keeps the body under subjection to what the Spirit of God is saying through your mind, through your body, through your soulish. Now, let's say what happens if the soulish realm feelings takes over. The soulish realm, now this is the mind. This is all your thoughts going on every day. Thoughts of whatever it goes on in your mind. The soulish realm is taking over. And it's starting to dominate. What happens to the spirit? The spirit man gets crushed. And when the spirit man gets crushed, what happens? The body doesn't operate in the realm of the spirit now. What's the body doing? It's operating on its own in the flesh, in the lusts of his flesh. Can you see that? The moment the soulish realm takes over, the body feels the effect of a crushed spirit. And that's just what I wanted to demonstrate to you to know that it's important to maintain the Spirit of God and to obey the voice of God and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because then you'll have this harmony operating. Are we bombarded with things of sin? Yes, we are. Are we bombarded with disappointments? Yes, we are. Are we bombarded with things we want to do in our selfish desires? Yes, we are. So what's the antidote? What can set us free? Who can set us free? The only person I know is the Holy Spirit. When we seek the Holy Spirit and His things and His ways and allow Him to be ruler over our feelings, over our emotions, over our lustful things, then we will find our body functioning in the way that God intended for the body to function. It ain't easy because there is a war going on. And Paul had the same problem. He had the same issues. He said that in Romans 7:21. He says, because he faced this same situation, he said, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. When I want to do what is right, I somehow do what is wrong. How many of us struggle with that? I think we all do struggle. We know what is right, but somehow we do that which is not right. But you know, God is so merciful. God is so gracious. When he sang that last song, the picture that came to me was the children of Israel. They disobeyed God everywhere. And on their journey, 40 years in the wilderness, they disobeyed God. Yet God was gracious. God was merciful. If I was God, I would have, singed them probably for their being unthankful. God had blessed them so much, but they could not see the blessing. They always looked at the problems. And sometimes we may not see the blessings of God in our lives. We always focus on the problems. But let's change that this morning. Let's not focus on our problems. Let's focus on the God who is able to deliver us from those situations. Because the moment we set our sights on the things of the Spirit, our emotions, our mind, our feelings, everything changes. The Spirit of God changes us, and then the body operates according to the Spirit of God. And how many want that? We want to operate according to the Spirit of God this morning. Paul said, I keep fighting. I keep pressing on. I keep pushing through. Philippians 3:12. He says, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But I've learned that I keep working, pressing towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Let that be our prayer this morning, that I will fight, I will keep pushing through till I seek everything that Christ has saved me for and wants me to be. Till I see that come to pass, there is hope. No one has arrived, but we are all on a journey of faith. And our journey has always got to be looking unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher, or the one who completes our faith. Amen. He's the one who started it. He will complete it. Wherever you are today in your journey in life, take courage. My dear friends, take courage. Don't get disappointed or despondent, but put your trust in the one who can bring you out of a situation into a place of restoration. God is all about restoration. We all need to be restored from time to time. We all go through situations and trials in our lives. But so long as we keep our hope and our trust, and we tell ourselves, God has started a good work in me, and He will complete it. God, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to give up the fight. I'm going to keep fighting. Like Paul said, I press on. I press on. I press on. Let's fight. Let's keep the faith. Let's run the race that is set before us, never giving up on the promises of God. Many people have strongholds in their lives. What's a stronghold? It's something they're addicted to or drawn to. It's something that goes beyond the control of human nature. They know they must not do it, but they keep doing it. That's an addiction. God can set us free from our cravings and our desires and our addictions this morning. Only God can. We can have therapy and we can have everything else, which is good. Nothing wrong in that. But the Creator can deal with it once and for all without any medication. Isn't that amazing? That's who we are. Let's stand. If you're standing here this morning, if you find that you're doing something you know you don't want to do, but you find that you're doing it, that's a stronghold. And this morning I want to declare to you that you can break free. You can break free of that. And if you want to break free of that this morning, I just want you to declare this prayer with me. I want to declare it in faith and come against those strongholds. Come against those things, those desires, those yearnings, those compulsions. It's like an obsessive, compulsive behavior, that kind of thing. It's got a hold of you. I want to break you out of it this morning. And the only way I know how is by you declaring the word of God this morning. Declaring by faith. Articulating not in your heart, but with your mouth. And declaring that I'm breaking free. So you're ready for it right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I break every power of evil and every desire that causes me to do the things that I don't want to do, but yet I do. Today, in the name of Jesus, I break that cycle. I break that stronghold. I come against it. I renounce it dead in my life, in Jesus' name. And now I resurrect the power of Christ in me. Because I live for Jesus. I live for the Spirit of God. And I declare, He that is in me is greater, more powerful, and is able to keep my life and all that I have committed to Him until the day of Jesus Christ. I declare that I'm free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
That God's alive in you today.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
He sets us free. Let's go out with a song of praise and lift His name high.
I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash, I am born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more than my words can say.